help them celebrate the interest, build on the interest to get to the information. Because to do that research, they're going to need initiative. They're going to need ownership. They're going to need motivation. If you're handing them what they should be researching, we all know as parents, there's a big difference in how our kids respond to things that they like and own versus things that we're telling them to do.
Welcome to the Generation Youth Podcast, where we ignite the future by empowering our youth. I'm James McLam, your host, founder, and CEO of Generation Youth, and the author of the best-selling book, Tomorrow's Youth. Whether you're a parent, an educator, youth pastor, or coach, join us as we dive into the pressing issues facing our young people today. Together, we'll unlock the strategies, insights, and inspiration to elevate and equip our next generation. Stay with us, and let's make a difference, one youth at a time. Welcome to the Generation Youth Podcast. I'm your host, James McLam. If you have children, one of the big decisions that you need to be concerned about is, what are they going to do for their career? What are they going to do for their life? And that may bother you. It may be one of those issues that keep you awake at night. How do I help them? How do I get help for them? Are they going to make the right choice? Well, my guest today, my new friend, Jay, is here to talk to us about this particular subject and really dive in and give us some solutions and some insights into how you can help career guidance for your youth. So, Jay, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
James, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me and for giving me the opportunity to share my passion with your audience. I'm so thankful to be here today.
I love the fact that you started off saying it's your passion. That makes me feel positive and good about, about where we're going. Well, Jay, our audience would love to learn a little bit about you and hear a little bit about you. So if you wouldn't mind, introduce yourself to the Generation Youth family.
Yeah, for sure. So I'm Jay Dussault. I've spent a large part of my life working with young people in some capacity. And then in 2014, my wife and I were trying to help our oldest son, Justin, who is at that point a junior in high school, and we're trying to help him figure out what to do with his life, you know, career direction, life after 12, some of those things that concern most parents. And as I started researching solutions to try to help him figure it out, I learned two things. Number one, I learned that there really weren't good resources to actually help. And secondly, I discovered that this was a massive, massive problem with young people. I was not aware of how many young people struggle with career direction. And so with those two discoveries in my mind and in my heart, I became greatly concerned about this issue, not only for my son, but for a generation of young people who I had just learned also experience these real, real challenges when it comes to figuring out life direction and life work. So yeah, so I've given my life to that since 2014. I just love working with teenagers and up into the mid-20s are typically who I work with. So that's kind of what I've been doing and focusing on. I'm hitting my 30-year anniversary this year. I've been married to Elaine. As I mentioned, we have one child. We also have a second child. I have two sons, now 24 and 26. So I love parenting, and I love equipping parents with practical things to do to actually come alongside their son or daughter and help this process of figuring things out.
Well, I love what you're doing. And I love the focus that you have. Why is there such a problem with young people defining what they do? I am in my mid-50s, and it seems like when I was in high school, there was a very much a, well, no, not even in high school, all the way back into elementary school, they started us thinking about careers, and I had to do all these kind of career research stuff in 7th and 8th grade. And then in high school, every year there was something. We had career day at school, and you know, there was all these different types of stuff they were preparing us. But maybe some of my classmates were unsure what they were going to do, but there wasn't the anxiety and distress it seems today. So what's happening?
Yeah, that's a great question, James. I think, you know, it's like most big issues, you know, there's multiple facets to it, there's multiple layers. But I think the basics are, number one, is that there are so many options now. You know, we live in a day where, like, literally 2 years ago, there weren't jobs that are currently now a valid option today. You know, the rapid development of technology and then all the supporting careers and, you know, work that needs to go into those new branches of labor and technology. I mean, new jobs are literally being created almost monthly that become viable options. So we're just adding jobs regularly to the mix of all of the potential that students have to confront and then make a choice over. So that's number one, is just more than ever, there are incredible options. And then number two is that most young people, they are making very uninformed decisions about what they want to pursue, whether it's lacking the full information about that job of interest that they just decide to pursue, or if it's just lacking an understanding of themselves and how they're designed. Either or both of those are contributing to the problem. So you've got this massive body of options to choose from, and you know less about the options and less about yourself and how much of a fit there is between the two.
Well, there's not too much we can do about the many options. Definitely.
Yes.
But you can tackle about them making uninformed decisions. So let's just start there. How is I, as a parent, can help my children make informed decisions about what they want to do? I'm a parent of three. My oldest is 24 now. She knew what she wanted to do from about, sophomore year of high school. Very determined, very focused, did these things. She knows this is where she's going to be for this season of her life.
Yeah.
My son, maybe not as much. He has an idea. He has a realistic, but the fear of the future is a thing that kind of, he's 21, that faces him. He's in college looking at finishing up. And I really think he fears that somewhat.
Yep.
Even going into an internship for this summer, there was some reluctance on trying to move forward. So how can we help parents, how can we help them in this process?
Yeah, it's again a great question. And I think there are two sides to the parent coin, so to speak.
Mm.
So on the first side, there is helping them really understand the jobs of interest. And then the second part is helping them really understand themselves, right? So when it comes to helping them understand jobs of interest, I created a framework. It's called the Job Research Blueprint. And what it does is it looks at 9 critical facts that our kids should really discover about a job of interest before they decide to pursue it. What I learned, James, over the last decade of doing this work is that so many young people, if they do have an idea about a job, they know very little about it, right? They might know that it involves an activity that they really enjoy, or it might involve the subject that they enjoy, but it usually ends there. And they don't know all of the other really important things that they should discover about the job before making that final decision. So on the side of helping our kids understand the job of interest, and then on the other side, which is helping them understand themselves and how they're wired, I think it's important really to help our kids get exposure to things that help them understand the inside version of who they are. I always say, humans have two sides of who they are. There's the outside you and the inside you. And so the inside you, when it comes to our kids, that's so important to understand, because there are facets of our child's inner wiring that directly relate to giving them guidance as it pertains to career future. Parents just get those two categories at least and say, hey, if I really want to help my kids, it's a matter of helping them understand jobs of interest if they have an interest, and then also helping them really understand their inner wiring.
I want to jump on this 9 critical factors and what some of those are, because I'm curious and I want to know, and I live in this field of youth development. I want to know what you found here, because I want to help my son. He and I are getting together this afternoon, and I want to see, what he's learned about this job opportunity.
All right, cool. Yeah. So this is a great, actual real life application for you to post. Okay. You can be sketching this on a napkin today with your son. If we think about there's a core of 5. So if you think of a circle with 5 different parts in the middle, and then there's 4 outer ring components, right? So in the middle, we've got a few things. So number one is every single job can be reduced to these 5 things. No matter what the job is, a job is simply a bringing together of 5 individual pieces, okay? And these are the most critical things. These 5 are the core critical 5 that our kids have to know, right? So number one is, what are all the duties associated with this job? Like, what are the activities? Not just the one I know about, but what are like the other seven, you know, that I don't know about? Mm. Right. So that's number one, is really having a holistic understanding of what all of the required activities are. Okay. Number two, the skills. What are all the required skills for this job, given all of the activities and duties that are part of this job? Right. So number two is required skills. The third thing that's important to discover is what I simply call content. And that is, what is the content of the job? Like, what will I be working with on a regular basis in this job? Is it people? Is it money? Is it ideas, concept, tools? You know, every single job has a core set of subject matter or content that you would be working with. The next thing that we really want to make sure we understand is the setting of the job. You know, like, what is the environment in which this job gets accomplished? You know, is it outdoors, indoors? Is it fast paced, slow paced? Is it up front, behind the scenes? There are so many important things to really understand about the setting of the job. And then lastly is simply the outcome. What is the primary outcome or the primary result of doing this job? All right. So let me give you two really quick examples, right? So let's take the role of a, you know, the role of a teacher, right? A school teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are the key duties with a school teacher? Well, they probably teach lesson plans and they record information and keep up logs about student performance. Okay. What are required skills in the job of a teacher? Well, you've got to be good at explaining stuff and you have to be good at behavior management in the classroom, all right? What are the content? What are the things that a teacher works with? Well, they work with kids and they work with lesson plans. Okay, what is the setting like for this job of a teacher? Well, it's controlled, it's indoors, relatively predictable, relatively stable, very, very upfront, you know, and very communal. It's lots of people involved in this job. All right, and what is the primary outcome? It is to pass on knowledge to children. Okay, so in just those quick few minutes, we just got a real, real good overview of what's really involved in the job of a teacher. You know, let's switch that up and let's say, okay, what about an auto mechanic, right? Like, okay, let's just use that fivefold framework. What are the duties of an auto mechanic? Well, it's to diagnose problems with the vehicle and fix them. All right. What are some of the main skills? Analytical skills, eye-hand coordination. What is the content? What would you be working with in that job regularly? Vehicles, maybe schematics, tools. Okay, great. What's the environment like? Well, it's, you know, controlled indoors. There's probably a little bit of a time pressure on that. And it's very alone, right? You're kind of alone. It's you and the problem you're trying to diagnose and fix. All right, great. What about the ultimate outcome? Well, it's fixing a vehicle that will then be useful to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So just looking at those two super quick sketches, you'd get a really good sense of like, which one am I more attracted to given all of those things? The duties, the skills, the content, the setting, the outcome, which one, even if it's just on a gut level, what do I feel more attracted to? And see, this is why it's so important to get the job of interest into a framework so that our kids can see it and really understand what's involved, right? And then the other four outer ring things are super simple. One is, what are all the requirements? Like, what must happen in order to get into this position? Secondly is the outlook plus, which is, is this job predicted to grow or shrink over the next 10 years? And the plus means, what is the role of AI in possibly changing this job significantly or maybe even eliminating it, right? And then we look at things like, okay, what are all of like the actual next steps? You know, what is the path forward to get into this? And so those are the outer ring things, the core, and then those outer things.
Say those last four again, because I think I missed one.
Yeah. So what are all the requirements to get into it? It is the outlook plus, it is the actual steps. And then the last thing is the salary.
Oh, okay.
What is the salary? And both starting and experienced salary. That's very important to make that distinction. So again, those are the four outer things that we want our kids to discover in addition to those five poor thing.
Well, this gives a great framework, a very precise step-by-step framework, which I am in favor of. I really like that. That's very attractive to me to do that. What's the process that normally happens? Because I look at this and I think, oh, why are they all doing this? This is kind of the what
Yeah.
If I think back to the, you know, the Stone Age of when I was in school, we seem to have been doing this. My teachers were encouraging me to do this. So what's the process that's happening now? What's happening now?
Yeah, so I think most young people, when they're making that decision for what to pursue as far as a job or career after high school, I simply have come to call it the guess and go strategy as opposed to the know and go. You know, so when you use the job research blueprint, those nine facets, you're practicing the know and go model. The guess and go often is something like, all right, there's basically a few components, okay? They all begin with the letter P, right? So you pick something. And that could be based on knowing that job, that career involves an activity or a subject that you like, right? Or it could be, oh, like all my friends are going that route. Or it could be, I picked that because there's pressure from my parents or significant others in my life. Or it could be as simple as, I saw it on TikTok and it looks really cool, right? So there's a range of ways that we, you know, young people pick something, but they just pick something and then they prepare. That's step number two, pick, prepare. So they start down a preparation path. And we see this fallout of this model most clearly in college-bound students, although it happens in all of the different paths when they're just picked randomly. But we see it because we have numbers, right? Colleges track data on this stuff. So, you know, college-bound students, they pick something, they start preparing for it, and then they discover something about that job that becomes the next P, and that is a problem. Maybe they realize, oh my gosh, this thing requires some skills that I know I don't have.
Ooh.
Or this is going to have me working with content that I don't have an interest in. Or I learned things about the environment, the setting of this job that is a huge turnoff. I cannot see myself doing that day in and day out or being in that setting, right? So what happens when they discover the problem? The next P, they pivot and they pick something else. And then they start preparing for that. But then in a similar way, now they learn other things that make that a problem. So they pivot again. Many statistics say that now over 80% of college students will change majors more than three times.
Yeah.
Right? What's happening there? Guess and go. It's not until they're into the preparation process that they discover things, James, that they could have easily discovered with an hour of research using that job research blueprint and ChatGPT and could have a whole clear understanding, but they don't. They just guess and go.
Wow. That is powerful to be able to see that. When you said that, you know, 80% are going to change their majors that many times, I think back to the encounters I've had just in the last 2 weeks with college students.
Okay.
That have changed their majors multiple times, but I only one out of those five that I had been dealing with this week changed their major because they found another passion. They found something that they did not know about beforehand that they said, this is my calling. This is where it is at. The rest of them are just kind of, you know, just picking something. And the majority of them, you know, you alluded to this, started that journey because of mom and dad picking something for them.
Often, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of jobs when I was growing up, a lot of people who went into jobs, there was not this elaborate process. It was what was available. What was available that was going to get you the kind of level of income that you wanted, or just give you a income.
Yep.
And that seemed to be the standard for a lot of people. I grew up in a very rural area, and that was kind of the standard of what everybody was. There wasn't this in-depth, you know, I'm going to go work, you know, for this place over here because they have an opening, I need work, I need that job, and they may stay there with those people for years and years and not have that passion of this now. But it seems like now we're more focused on, is this the right fit long-term? What do you think has caused that change?
Yeah.
I'm just curious on that because I was just thinking through that. I was thinking, why my classmates growing up, they didn't care about this stuff, most of them. So
yeah, I think there's a couple of dynamics at play here. First of all, is that we have enough data now, you know, historically to look at the, you know, average American and their work and studies. I think Barna did a huge report a few years ago. And it's a majority of Americans are very dissatisfied and discontent and unhappy in their job. And we now know because there is, thankfully, a huge emphasis put on mental health in our society today. And we're realizing, oh my gosh, when you're miserable at work, it spills over into so many other areas of your life. They've done studies. This is all research-based. It affects your emotional state. It affects your relationships. They've done studies that show it can affect you physically, your sleep, your overall health. So I think what's happened, James, is we've realized, hey, you know, contentment, fulfillment, happiness in your life work is really critical to your overall well-being. So I think that's number one. We've got research and statistics and information from tracking people, and then also the development in science that's allowed us to really understand some of those connections. And then I think, secondly, a big mantra in our world is your personal happiness. You know, I'm probably similar in age to you. And back in the day, it was kind of, hey, if you don't like it, too bad. Like, suck it up, work hard.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
It doesn't matter how you feel or how miserable you are. You know, you've got responsibilities. Buck up. And I do think there's some, you know, validity to that. Grit and resiliency is really, you know, they're important things. Don't get me wrong. But I like the fact that we now have a value saying, yeah, it's not just about that, though. Like, we can have fulfillment in what we do. And there is some sense of caring about whether or not I'm happy and I can see myself doing that. And that job will be fulfilling and meaningful to me. So I think those are the two big factors that have helped really shape a different value system today and prioritizing that idea of fit and fulfillment.
How are you? The second part of it that you talked about was understanding themselves. And that also kind of, that speaks to me because we do a lot of assessments in our coaching program on how to help young people understand a little bit more about who they are and stuff. What do you mean by that, helping them understand themselves?
Yeah. So, you know, again, going back to the basic idea that humans are the outer you and the inner you, right? And so there's all kinds of really cool things about our innate inner wiring that we can discover. You know, not all of them are necessarily important for direction with life work, but there are a handful. There are a few things, inner wiring, that are really important to know that will be very helpful in guiding us away from things that aren't ideal and guiding us to life work that will fit, that will prove to be successful and motivating and fulfilling. And so really understanding, you know, aspects of our inner wiring is a great help. I'm not a big fan of assessment tools that are like career assessment or like career quizzes.
Like the ASVAB. I remember taking the ASVAB when I was in that. Is that kind of what you're talking about?
That's an older, thing. I mean, they're a dime a dozen now. You can just, you know, put career quiz online. You'll see gobs of free ones that pop up. And there's a lot of reasons why those are inherently problematic, especially for young people. So I'm not a big fan of career quizzes, but things like understanding your personality and your wiring, whether it's a tool like Enneagram or Myers-Briggs, the 16 personalities, these are all tools that do help us gain insights into kind of how we are and how we are wired. I like taking that approach and then saying, well, you know, what's interesting, if we use those five core categories of the job research blueprint, and we found out correlating things about us, that's a really great way to start getting a better sense as to whether or not a job option might fit, right? So if a key thing with jobs is a skill set required to do the job, well, we can take different tools that help us understand, like, what are our skills, right? And then we can just kind of look and say, does this seem to be a fit? Are the things required in the job similar or equal, you know, to the skills that I have verified I have, okay? The setting, you know, like, hey, when you get to learn about yourself and then you understand that this job setting, does it seem like your traits would fit in that setting? So it's almost like you're not relying on a quiz or a tool to do the matching. You're using an assessment to give you understanding of yourself. And because you know what's important to know about the job, you do the assessment, you do the analysis of saying, how well do I fit this particular piece of the job?
That's powerful. So what I'm hearing, and I really love this, is they need to have the understanding of both the jobs that their potential and themselves,
right,
and see the alignment and see if they correlate and see if they complement each other before moving forward, instead of these tests that would just spit out. Because when we were talking about that, I was thinking about that ASVAB test that I took, you know, back into the Stone Ages. And the jobs it spit out for me, I was like, I'm not interested in any of this stuff. And I kept thinking, what did I say or what answer did I give that caused this to pop up? I mean, this is
right.
This is stuff I never even considered. And doors would have to be slammed in my face before I would consider some of these.
Well, this is exactly what happens. And, you know, all the clients that I work with, I ask them when they come on into the coaching process, I ask them if they've taken assessments and they all say yes. And they're not helpful. There's a few really important reasons why. Number one is that they're often question-based assessments. And so they're letting the student be in control of what answer they put in. And there's no checks and balances to ensure that the answer they check is reflecting their real self, not their envisioned self.
Ooh.
Right? So that's a huge problem, is you can put a very subjective-based answer in that's not really you. And then the tool is using the information you put in to kind of calculate, right? So if you put in information that's not really you, it's going to not be all that helpful, right? And the second thing is that a lot of times those tools are connected with very outdated databases of jobs, and they don't reflect like the most current job fields that are now valid that popped up in the last 5 years. And then thirdly, a lot of times those quizzes are only looking at interests or abilities. And again, when you think about interests and abilities, those are only a fraction of what a job actually involves. Of course, it involves subjects that you're likely interested in or activities you're interested in. Yes, it does involve skills, but there's so much more. And those types of question-based tools usually don't ever get at those critical other factors that are important for a true fit and alignment.
So many things are popping in my mind that I'm going to lose all the things I want to discuss. But one of them that comes up is when you said that is, I think that is the danger of these published reports that when I was teaching high school, we readily gave the students, here is what U.S. News and World Report says is the top 10 jobs that high school students should go in next year. You know, and they would look at it and they would say, oh, these are the top 10 jobs. These are the ones I need to go in.
Yep.
Or these are the ones that are projected to be around and stuff. And we do that as educators in earnest and with care. You know, we want to provide them, but it's probably not serving them in the manner that they need to be served.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always tell parents, listen, like, it's great that our kids have an interest. Again, whether the interest is because they saw it on TikTok or they know something about it or they see it publicized on a magazine cover. That's not a problem. Like, however they have interest in a specific job, not a field, but an actual job. And that's so important. You got to narrow it to an actual position, not a career field. But like, when our kids have interest in a job, I tell parents, I just released a parents course on this. And I say, don't worry about whether or not you think it's a good idea, right? Because as parents, like, if our kids float some crazy idea and we're like, that makes $27,000 a year. That's just not a good idea. I tell parents, sit on that for a minute. Like, just celebrate the interest, okay? Because when there's interest, that means that there's ownership.
Mm-hmm.
And ownership always produces four really important qualities. It produces motivation. It produces initiative. It produces effort. And it produces resilience, okay? And when we start with interest, we want to move our kids to information, interest to information. And if they have an interest that's theirs, they own it, then we can introduce the job research blueprint and say, I'm so glad like you're interested in that. A lot of young people don't even have an interest. I just want to celebrate that with you. Hey, you know, have you thought about things that might be important to know about that? No, not really. Well, you know, I learned this cool, simple framework you can use, and it'll guide you to learn important things so you don't make an uninformed decision that you'll regret. Would you like to learn those categories and the types of things you can focus on discovering about this job that you're really interested in, right? So even if you think it's a bad idea, be quiet. Help them celebrate the interest, build on the interest to get to the information, because to do that research, they're going to need initiative. They're going to need ownership. They're going to need motivation. If you're handing them what they should be researching, we all know as parents, there's a big difference and how our kids respond to things that they like and own versus things that we're telling them to do.
Yeah, I really hope parents are listening to this and absorbing what we're saying, because the one thought came to my mind when you mentioned TikTok and stuff. A video or a reel on Instagram that talked about, hey, you need to have an assessment and they need to do these things, would get lower views than one that if you came up and said, these are the top 10 jobs that your kid needs to be considering. That would go viral. Why? Because we're giving them something that they think is right with not that much work attached to it.
Yeah.
Oh, look, here's a list.
Right.
Somebody has already made a list for me. Susie, you need to be this because this is a top 10 job and it doesn't fit who they are or what they're going to do.
Yep.
And
yeah, it's a good
starting point. Then they're going to have to find fulfillment as part of their life outside of their job. And a third of their day or more is going to be associated with their job. We need to at least have something that is there that is going to give them meaning. Or hopefully they find a boss that has the understanding and insight to be able to provide that meeting in something that they may not be passionate about. So
yeah, ideally we're able to find life work that I always say there's three qualities to a great fit job. One is that success, motivation, and fulfillment or happiness, right? So if something truly fits us, those three qualities always result.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it would be great if we could have our life work, our career, give us those things as opposed to what you just mentioned, James, which is I kind of just go do my job, but then I look elsewhere to find that fulfillment, the motivation. And man, like we can actually merge them. And that's what I'm all about. My coaching is about, you know, ensuring that the fits we find. I use a very unique tool. It's a story-based tool. It doesn't ask questions. It analyzes patterned repeated behavior in the student to really discover who they are. But I always tell them, like, we find a fit, you know, you will have this type of fulfillment. You'll have this success because we ensure that it matches with all of you, not just simply an interest that you have or one of the particular skills. We make sure there is a holistic alignment so you can have that experience of success, motivation, fulfillment in your job, not just in other areas of your life.
How can our audience connect with you to find out more about the services you provide and the resources that you have? And because I'm hoping and I feel confident that there are some parents that are feeling the urge to kind of move, you know,
Yeah.
You know, things don't happen until they get that itch, and now they're starting to get the itch. I've been approaching this wrong. Or they're looking at their 19-year-old who is, you know, has no clue what they want to do, and they want to help. How can they connect with you?
Yeah, so the best way is to visit the website, which I think it's coming up. Yep, it's up on the screen. So lifeafter12th.com. You can learn about the coaching services. There's other things I do, speaking and workshops, but there's also, I have a private Facebook group. I think there's just under or over 3,000 parents in that group.
Wow.
It's active. I do live training. It's all free. I hand out a monthly resource. That is the same name. It's a private Facebook group. If you go on Facebook and search groups, Life After 12TH, you'll find us. I would love to have you join the group, again, to get support, to get resources. I make myself extremely available. I just let parents know, hey, if you're in the community and you have questions, message me. I will give you full time and attention to answer your specific question. And that's part of what I do because I love it. I enjoy supporting the parents and really helping them, especially the ones who want to be significant for their kids in this area. Parents who are stepping up saying, I want to do something about it. I really love to empower and equip them. So love to have you come into the community.
You have resources that if the student is listening to this, that they, you know, they are like, hey, mom and dad are, they're off the wagon. They're going, you know, they're teaching me other stuff. I want to do this myself. I want to get connected with Jay. Can they connect with you as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. The best thing would be to go to the website and then right on the website, down in the bottom left, there's a little red bubble. It says connect. Or message me, and that's the best way to communicate. If you're a student and you're saying, hey, I would love to learn more about this, I'd be happy to set up a student hangout with you on a Zoom. I do that all the time. I'm connecting with students.
Wow.
And I would be more than happy to do that.
Well, Jay, I am very, very grateful for your time today. I took three pages of notes, and I hope the audience has as well. And the ironic thing is that this week, the interviews that I had, one interview was in the career path that my son is going into.
Great.
And
yeah.
They have books and stuff that were related to it that they were sharing. And
very
then
cool.
You at the end of the week, and then I'm thinking, oh, wow. And then he had sent me an email last night or text last night saying, hey, I have an internship starts May coming up in a couple of weeks. And, you know, I'd love to talk with you about, you know, what I need to know about that. And I'm like, oh, now I got something for you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, congrats too on your son's internship. That's great. Yeah. That's a good stepping point. Yeah.
I appreciate that as well. I appreciate
yeah,
that stuff.
Sure. Sure. Sure.
And audience, thank you for sticking with us. Look, if you've been with us close to 40 minutes, you found some value in what we're talking about here. You've learned a lot, and it's something that is rich. So please like, share, and comment on this. But the most important aspect of those three things is the sharing, because someone that you know needs this information, and they're not here. They're not part of our community. So share it with them. Let them know about it. Share the links with them so they could reach out to Jay. We want to help empower young people to make the best decisions so they can be productive adults and they can thrive in our society. So you need to be an evangelist for this as well. Hey, I've already got my kids out. They know what they're doing. Great for you. Wonderful job. But someone you know needs this message. So let's connect it to the right people. So please like, share, and comment on it so that we can reach more people. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, James. Pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
And thank you, audience. And we'll see you back here again very soon on another episode of the Generation Youth Podcast. And there you have it, another impactful episode of the Generation Youth Podcast. To all of our listeners out there, remember to hit that subscribe button on your preferred podcast platform so you can never miss an episode. Want to be a part of the Generation Youth community? Follow us on all of our social media platforms. We'll keep you connected with all of our upcoming episodes and inspiring initiatives. You're not just a listener here. You're a catalyst for change. Together, we're building a future filled with promise, potential, and endless possibilities. This journey is just starting, so keep tuning in, keep growing, and let's continue uplifting our youth one episode at a time. Thank you for joining us today, and until next time, let's keep sparking inspiration and igniting the future.